Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Today's guests are Ryan and Dr. Francesca Byrne, founding partners of Cashflow Capital Club, CCC. I love that acronym. Starting out like much of you, buying and selling single family, they now own over 1,500 doors. Together, Ryan and Francesca are driven to help people achieve financial freedom by providing solid multifamily-based investment opportunities in an environment of dependability, trust, absolute clarity. And I need to say this, it's Ryan's moral imperative. Didn't forget that one. So welcome to the show, Ryan and Francesca.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So we were on the Julian Gino podcast. We talk about relationships, working with the spouses and all. I really want to focus this podcast on, you know, first of all, let's talk about why multifamily. You're in the single family space. What drew you to get into multifamily?
Well, we have been longtime investors. Investing has always been attractive to us, has always been a goal for us. And when we moved into real estate, we started with things that we could wrap our head around, which was single family. We're doing great with that, love that, loved what we were doing, but we ran into a problem when the lender told us our income no longer supported our borrowing. So, and that affected us on our personal balance sheet, things that, you know, our credit basically.
Yeah.
And so we had capital that we wanted to deploy, and we were looking for other ways to deploy it. We discovered multifamily, and that's how we discovered multifamily. Once we saw how it worked, saw the opportunity there, the risk reward that was associated with multifamily, we didn't look back once we found it.
So I would say my wife would come to me and would go, Gino, what are you doing with my credit score? Okay, you're killing me here. So that's actually, that's probably what would have happened in my household, that conversation. And I would have been like, yes, because I had something very similar when I first started out. I was buying duplexes, portfolio lenders, you can't buy more than 10. I'm like, how do I scale this thing up? And I'm seeing this as a business. I'm seeing this from an entrepreneurial lens going, wow, yeah, we're buying these deals and I can't scale up with single family. It doesn't make sense from that aspect of it. Can you speak to that as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. We wanted to scale and, you know, so in a way it kind of forced our hand, but we're grateful that it did because we ended up in a space that is much better for us and, you know, much better returns compared to the risk. So we're really happy with that.
Yeah, and at the time we had a third child and we wanted to upsize our living, get another bedroom. We weren't allowed to do that because we were going to buy a bigger, more expensive home, but we had already bought so many investment properties and we were doing it 20% down. And it was sort of the lender said, well, it's one or the other. Do you want to keep investing or do you want to get a bigger house?
That's a hard sell, Ryan. You got to be a really good salesperson to sell that one. And you're losing that battle. I'm going to tell you that right now. I would lose that battle myself. That's awesome. So you guys are living in California, correct? So you moved to Texas over the last year, correct?
Yes.
And when you ended up moving, I know you just joined the Jake and Gino community. That was one of your pain points. What was other pain points that you had in multifamily when you're looking at it from the business perspective?
I mean, we had discovered multifamily and studied multifamily probably for 10 years.
I didn't know that.
Groups, we were investing in multifamily, but it just seemed so overwhelming, so much to tackle, maybe some mental blocks that didn't allow us. We thought it would, you know, we were trying to think of the time. How do we manage the time? How do we go after it? And learning it from a book or going to these like weekend boot camps that will give you the recipe on what to do is completely different than associating yourself with people who are actually doing it. That was the bridge for us. And the big difference that we had with Jake and Gino is that we had a very close relationship with people who are actually doing it. And then that made it achievable. That made it doable in our mind from us. It's like that person's doing it. There is zero reason why we can't be doing the same thing.
I love that answer. It's really, it's the accountability piece as well, correct? You have the mindset, you have that accountability piece, and you also have, you also have people, like you said, like that person's 30 years old. They shouldn't be doing, what are they doing that I'm not doing? It's really the five people you surround yourself with. And then all of a sudden you start seeing that and you get the confidence and then the snowball effect starts happening. Yeah. Francesca, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, just that. I think we didn't appreciate how important networking was, and having that network of people to even just to bounce ideas off of and ask, you know, hear their stories and learn from and whatnot. So that's been really a huge part of it for us.
And Francesca, share with me, you're a doctor, share with me some of the limiting beliefs that doctors have. I mean, as far as investing goes, what pain points did you have as a doctor? What pain points do the doctors that you speak to have?
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. I can answer it, you know, because I've lived it essentially. But, you know, I had spent many years investing more on the, you know, portfolio side of stocks, equities, and did all right on that. But once you start looking into real estate, it was something I could wrap my head around a little bit easier. And then once I started seeing those, the returns and how much more attractive it was, it made it much easier. But I think as a working professional, when you're in real estate, one, you either have to have someone like a spouse or someone that's doing it, because if you're working full time, it's not really passive, especially if you, you know, if you have a short term rental or even a single family, it's not something you can do both at least and do well. And so for that, from that aspect, investing in the multifamily where it's more something you can be actually passive in if you find a good team that you work with and trust. And that's what I've been really excited to be able to share with other doctors, but any professional really that is interested, is that it's accessible. These deals are out there. And when you're kind of working the daily grind, you don't get exposed to those. And so what we're trying to do is bring those to your average, you know, hard worker and say, look, you can still have access to these same deals that we see on, you know, that Wall Street workers get and exposure to and whatnot.
Do you mind if I both share a story with you about a property we bought from a doctor?
Please.
And it was 2014, and I remember the deal. And the doctor had built these himself, and he had a sizable portfolio. But his wife was managing the properties, and his brother was a partner. And they were the operations were vastly on the market. I mean, he was working his job. He didn't know. He was a mom and pop landlord, amazing doctor, but the bandwidth is not there to do the job properly. And we ended up buying the deal. It completely changed my life. We still own the deal. And he made a great amount of money. He could have made a lot more, but I think from a doctor's perspective, it's I'm a mentality. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. And I'm out there telling all the doctors that you don't have to do that. You have, you know, Ryan and Francesca here who can actually do it for you. And if you want to be part of a team, you can go out and you can work with other people, let's say on a general partnership side and possibly start that way. But I think the easiest way is to find operators who are doing it and let them do it for you. Because if you're a doctor, you have that responsibility to your patient and you're out there trying to underwrite a deal at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's pretty hard to do that. Or you're trying to talk to investors. But if you can find a group like Francesca and Ryan, I think that's the easiest way to do it. I know, Ryan, we joked around early when I first said the moral imperative, because I remember that from last time, but that's a pretty big core value statement that you say. Can you follow up on that a little bit for me?
Yeah, I mean, being investors our entire professional lives, we didn't have access to these deals. No one was inviting us to participate in private equity offerings for multifamily or anything. We had the same exposure that everyone else had. So then when we discovered this, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to participate as investors, and we're able to offer it up to our friends, family, other people in our network, and discovered how large the appetite was for it. It was like righting that wrong of us missing out all those years on this investment and making sure that people knew that they were allowed to participate with us, that they could do these things, achieve higher returns with less risk in things that they understood. without all the headache. And people want it. The appetite, like I said, is very huge for this. So it is our duty to at least give people the opportunity who are investors who have an interest in real estate to see what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. What makes you think the appetite is so big? I'll share my thoughts after I want to hear what you think, especially because you're looking at it from the professional side. You're raising money from people who are engineers, not only just doctors, everybody. You're a high level IT executive. You're a salesperson. You're a CEO of a small business. These people who want these benefits, but sometimes they may not have the time. Where do you see the appetite coming from for these assets?
It came in raising capital for deals that were extremely attractive, but we couldn't do by ourselves. Reaching out to people, sharing with people what we're doing, and then seeing the capital come in. I mean, mm-hmm. that was the proof right there, because when we started out, it's like, okay, we have to raise $4 million for this deal, in Augusta. And that $4 million came in 72 hours. So that was all the proof that we needed.
That's what we did.
Okay, wow.
I'm sure you did more than that. I'm sure you whipped out. You said, you know what? One room, we're going to put two damn rooms on the house. Forget that one room kind of thing, right? That's the first thing that came to my mind. Go buy another house after that one, right?
So we realized right there that symbiotic relationship, how valuable it was and what a service we were doing for people just by making a phone call. And sometimes that's all it takes is a phone call to let people know, like, hey, you can do this with us.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of that excitement is, especially now with people seeing the volatility in the stock market, is that a lot of people are wanting to, diversify and spread their 401ks out and, find other opportunities, because, the future there is a little, for many that have all of their money there, that's scary. Yeah. So
inflation is eating away your savings. The stock market can do anything at any time. And then we have an offering where we can readily identify exactly where the returns are coming from without any speculation. And then what the market does and would enhance those returns. So, and people get that, they understand that. It's like, we've done it. We've done it before. Here are some case studies. This is the new one. There'll be others. If you're not ready now, we'll stay in touch. And that's kind of mm-hmm. how that relationship starts.
I've written a couple notes down. First thing, everyone on here, if you're a doctor or if you're a professional and you have a 401k, just Google self-directed IRA. I think it's something that would behoove you to think that 92% of all assets are not directed. There's only 8% of the trillions and trillions of dollars out there that are self-directed. I mean, Wall Street doesn't want you to know that because they want the money in stocks. They've created the demand by back in the 1970s, and now they've created the supply because you have to sell when you're 70 and a half. So they're geniuses. They're really great marketers. I think the other thing is, you touched on inflation. Inflation is not going to go away. I mean, it's always there, and rents go up. So it's a hedge against inflation. I think the other thing is, it's a hard asset. It's not crypto. Mm-hmm. It's not out there. It's a tangible asset that you can touch. It's a basic human need. It's food, clothing, and apartments. Those are the basic human needs. The demographic is there. People are renting more. There's a shortage of affordable housing. And you missed the biggest one, which is what doctors should really listen to, is tax benefits. The benefits on taxes are huge out there. Just Google cost segregation, Google, depreciation in real estate, because I want to make sure that people understand the amazing amount of benefits. And when Ryan's buying an asset, holds it, our residents are paying down the mortgage. Over the years, we're getting that benefit as the asset is appreciating over time. So there's so many benefits to this asset class. And hey, stocks are great. You want to put your money in there. Last year, seventh worst on record, 22% decline. If Elon wants to throw out a tweet, all of a sudden he throws a tweet out, Tesla's down 20%. We can't control that. But Ryan can go on his property and raise rents by $50. Or if he wants to do a non-refundable move-in fee and give that as a break to somebody, he can do that as well. He controls the asset. I think that's something that's vastly overlooked as well. And I think that's mm-hmm. why when you put all these benefits together and you have a long-term mindset of, I'm not just getting this for the year, the next 2 years, I'm in this for the long-term and I want to start investing my assets now. And when I retire, that money will be there. Because at retirement, we don't have a net worth problem. We have a cash flow problem. And Ryan and Francesca are here to solve that problem with real estate because it yields a dividend. No one yes. talks about that. We're not buying just for capital appreciation, which is great, but we also produce dividend. We also produce cash flow. So I am selling multifamily to myself. I think I got to buy another asset, right? It sounds awesome though, doesn't it? It almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? I mean, seriously.
And we tell people that, you know, this sounds too good to be true. So we're going to whack at this model and give you the worst case scenario that we have. And it still looks amazing. So
I love that. Let's talk about the deal, like that first deal that you had. When you're sitting there, you must be nervous. Honestly, I don't want to use the word, but you must be crapping your pants because $4 million is a lot of money. The doubts, you've never done it before. I've never really raised money. And then 72 hours later, you've got these commitments. This must have been like an amazing feeling. What did you do right to be able to raise all that money in that first deal? Let's talk about that. Then I want to hear the bad. Let's talk about the good first.
What we did right, I think we reached out to people directly, got them on the phone, and had one-on-one conversations. This is multifamily. Yeah. This is why we like it. This is this particular deal. I want to get your thoughts on it. I know you've talked about real estate, wanted to do it. Do you want to do this with us? And I think a lot of times in our space, people lean a little bit too much on emails and text and skip that one-on-one, skip that direct phone call. But that was a big important piece. I mean, our, what do you call it? A conversion rate, if you will, was very high by giving people the time to ask questions one-on-one. Before we did a webinar, before we did a group thing, it was one-on-one conversations. I think that was, and we still do that today as time allows. So,
yeah. And I think people appreciate those nitty gritty details that, you know, most people don't get out of a lot of their other investment opportunities. And so being able to see where each essentially dollar is coming from, people like that.
The deal itself helped too.
Mm-hmm. What questions do doctors typically have when you're presenting them with something that's totally new, like multifamily? Some people may say multifamily, or there are multiple people living in one residence. There's just a complete like blank stare. You mean people own that building? Is that owned by a corporation? Like, what are some of the big questions that doctors have?
Yeah, that's actually the main one, is kind of how does it work? How does it get funded? You know, how many investors are there, that type of thing, because it's something, like I said, that they haven't really seen before. So that's usually the biggest question that we get. And then, you know, how can I be involved? How can I be one of those? But what other questions do we get?
Yeah, they ask how many units. They want to know about the deal. I think they're taken aback by when we ask if they want a partner. They're imagining, you know, 10 units somewhere.
Yeah,
and
smaller.
We bring them 145 units. And they're like, whoa, but it actually gets easier with more units that you have, at least operationally,
right?
Because that way you have the scale to put people in place who know what they're doing, instead of doing it all your own or trying to figure out how to reinvent that property management wheel.
Yeah, and I think once we kind of explain that part of it, it kind of, the light bulb goes off. And
they want to know how much they can get in for, which is very reasonable. We can get you in for a quarter of the amount which you would invest in a single family property, you know, for example, with higher returns, less risk, and less headache.
And what I want to go back to is what you had spoken about and the good. You're speaking to doctors and higher level people, and I think everybody should just get on the call. I mean, you may be talking to a different persona. They may already know it. You may not have to get on that phone call, but that personal touch means a lot. It doesn't matter. Maybe the younger people don't like to use phones, but at least a Zoom call, and at least try to build rapport with them. And I think more importantly, trying to understand their goals, because if it's not a fit between you and the person you're trying to raise capital from, it's okay. But you may say, hey, after this conversation, it sounded great. Do you have anybody who would be interested? That's the other thing. You may be able to get somebody that they know as well. But getting on the phone, it just seems so easy and so like basic. But that's like the first thing you should constantly be doing, especially when you first start raising capital. Then you have them on, and then you've done one deal. Now, all of a sudden, they can go on to the next deal. But I know doctors, when they find out that their friends are investing in real estate, they want to jump on the bandwagon. And how do you do that? And that must be that whole follow-up as far as that goes. We didn't even mention your responsibilities. I know, Francesca, you're more of the person talking to doctors, raising the capital. And Ryan, you're probably more of the implementer looking for deals as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I focus on underwriting and management, asset management, investor relations, taking the deeper dive into the deals. Capital raising and having the capital available to us is half of what we do. Mm-hmm. Without that, we would have to pass on many slam dunk deals. And I think people do that because they can't imagine where that capital would come from. It's there if we start sharing the story, if we start networking and giving people the opportunity. We can continue to do these slam dunk deals that are supposed to be out of our league from a financial perspective by partnering together. And by partnering together with operators and busy professionals, we are way more successful than anything that we could do by ourselves, either as investors or operators.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. And you told me the good. Is there anything that you stuck out to you that you learned on that first deal that said, wow, I can really bring this over to my next deal?
Yeah, I mean, we did this deal during an interesting time. It was March 2022. We raised the capital in 72 hours and then held the capital for 3 months before we closed because our bank that was referred to us had done deals in the community, was not able to perform and kept leading us on with some other delay, some other report. And it became blatantly clear, this is not normal. We need to find a backup lender. We ended up finding two more lenders and basically said the first to close is the first to get the business. I mean, it was unbelievable, but that was during that time when rates were 3.5% on our LOI and we ended up closing at 4.5%.
Rising every day.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. It's like every week delay, we're like, what's going to happen in the markets? What are rates going to look like? And we also learned what at-risk capital really means, because in that time we're putting hard money to get extensions on the contract. And we fell out of contract for 3 days where a very large portion of our GP net worth was just floating in the wind. And so distributing that at-risk capital amongst more players was a very important lesson. It looks like an easy get, like, oh, I can get a bigger portion of the general partnership, I'll just do it. But, you know, in this time when things get a little volatile and get a little weird, it can be at risk.
Wow. And what did you like about the deal? I mean, I like that market, Augusta, Georgia. What really stood out for you for the deal? And what are the opportunities for this deal?
It fit our simplified buy right criteria.
You smiled. I saw a little smile there. You're like, the buy right came out. He's like, you see how clear clarity will set you free, my friend, right?
it checked all the boxes of everything that we talk about, you know, pure operational value add play.
Okay, time out. We're going a little high. So first of all, the buy right criteria is when we're out looking for an asset, we want to focus on, you know, we buy right, manage right, finance right, but buying right is what fits your criteria. What are you looking for as far as vintage, as far as number of units, as far as the asset size, as far as the benefits? He's talking about operational. I don't even know. I can't even remember what the heck he said. It's almost over my head. But basically, the management sucked. And he was like, I see some opportunities in the management. And I can cut the expenses. And that will make me raise my net operating income, which will, in effect, force the value of the asset to go up. So he's controlling that. He's not waiting for the stock market to go up. He's making the stock in itself right now, the real estate piece, go up himself. He's able to do that. So I'm sorry, continue along. I just got a little excited there.
The same thing is in single family. When you buy a single family house, you're waiting for another house to sell to let you know you made a good investment. But in this case, we could force the appreciation simply by raising the rents per unit, and we didn't have to do anything to these units to raise the rent. So,
so what we liked about that deal was, you know, we're looking for places that have low vacancy, have opportunities to raise the rent. So they're being mismanaged, like you mentioned, you know, and then have an opportunity to put staffing in place. And that's your value add right there. So we do keep it simple in that sense. But that's what we loved about that Augusta deal.
And what is your exit strategy for the deal? Will you sell it? Will you refinance it? What are you looking to do with it?
So even though we are doing syndications where we combine limited partners who invest the capital with the general partners who operate, our strategy is to refi, enroll, and take advantage of what these great markets will continue to bring in the future. A refinance and roll is when you do you refinance the deal with a new valuation, and you take that excess capital, distribute that back to investors to make them whole. That's a tax-free event. That it looks like a sale, but you get all your capital back tax-free, and you continually get passive income from that asset for many years to come. And then we can do another refi where we're getting more than our original invested capital back in another 7 years. Rents are still going up because we're in a great market. We're still getting passive income, and we want to do that for as long as we can until we get an offer we can't say no to.
Wow. So a lot of syndications don't do that, but I think this is very attractive for professionals, doctors, lawyers who don't want their money back, and they're going to get their money back in the form of a refinance, which is technically a loan against the property. That's why it's not taxable. But can you imagine if you're Gino, you invest in a deal, and after 3 years, I've been getting distributions, and then I've invested $100,000, and all of a sudden Ryan sends me back a check of $80,000 of my capital. Not only have I gotten cash flow every month or every quarter, I'm getting a lot of my principal back. Guess what Gino's going to do? Gino's going to say, Ryan, where's the next deal? And that's how you build your investor base. You start performing. Yeah. And don't worry about starting with 123 units like Ryan and Francesca did. If you can syndicate a 20 or 30 unit deal, it's all about starting, and it's about becoming clear on your model. A lot of syndicators don't want to refi and roll. They want to really crystallize their equity on the exit strategy and sell. I think just becoming clear on what you're trying to accomplish. And I think this model works really well with doctors and people who don't want their money back. Like, what are they going to do with their money back? They just got to go out and find another investment. So why not keep the money in that investment, continue to cash flow? And that's why you want to align yourself with the operators who have the same goals and visions as you do. That's why that first phone call is very important. They lay that out, and that's why their conversion rate is really high. And that's why I was able to raise $4 million in 72 hours. That's the reality. Just being clear on it, and then obviously executing it, having your buy rate criteria, understanding what that looks like. And then when you see the asset, it's like, okay, I can take care of that asset. That makes a lot of sense to me. And then just performing on it. So that is awesome. Let me ask you.
Imagine you're an investor. You deploy $100,000 in capital. In our timeline, and the way we were financing, we could realistically do a refinance in 2 years. And so every 2 years, you have an opportunity to redeploy that money back into a cash flow producing asset. So then in a 10-year period, you have five of these that are all generating, say, 10%. Cash on cash, which means each one of those five will give you $10,000 a year. That's a huge thing.
Yes. Last question for me. There's people out there that are listening. They may want to get into mentorship, and I see a lot of people getting into it. They think they know everything about what they're getting into, and they're like, "Huh." When they jump in, they're like, I didn't know that. And they're looking at it more now as an investment, as an expense. What did you learn? What were the big takeaways for you? Because you had already started, you'd already been investing for 10 years. It was a long timeline. What were the big aha moments for you? Like saying, I thankfully joined a group, and this is what I learned that I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so it's hard to answer because there's so much. I mean, I think, again, a big part of it was that networking, which we mentioned, but also the idea that we didn't have to do it alone, that we could bring other people on. I don't think I appreciated the value of that and how much, you know, we needed other people as much as, you know, we didn't realize, but that they wanted or needed us. And so that was a huge part of it, an aha moment for me personally.
Yeah, relationships can really accelerate your growth way beyond anything that you imagine yourself doing, alone. alone, which is how most people think. I'm going to do this, this, and this. But partnerships, relationships, not only from learning, sharing best practices, resources, but complementing each other's strengths to do more attractive deals was huge. You don't need, we put all our money into each and every deal where we're starting from scratch. We're going to do another deal this year. It'll be $20 million. We don't need all the money ourselves to make that happen. This idea of like, I need to keep dry powder, or this is my only war chest. I'm going to save it until I find that one deal. 3 years goes by. It's never been deployed. You can continually deploy. And when you find a deal, there are ways to get capital.
Right.
And that's, it's very valuable in maintaining a network, joining a network. It's not just about the education, but it's about the people.
I can sum it up in two sentences. Don't be the I'm a person like Francesca. I'm a do this. I'm a do that. It's really important that once you realize that there's so many people out there that want to help you and want to be part of it, it's really eye-opening. And I think the other thing is multifamily is a team sport. I think that's what's really important because there's so many different responsibilities. You know, Ryan's doing one thing, Francesca's doing another thing. You have property management company out there as well. There's so many different levers that you can pull in multifamily, and learning them all is great. But as you're scaling up, just picking out which ones you think you'll excel at and continue to grow those partnerships and those opportunities will lead to massive wealth. Where can the listeners get a hold of you guys?
They can find us at cashflowcapitalclub.com. There's a lot of ways that you can introduce yourself to us. There is a link where you can request an invitation and we can sit down and have a one-on-one conversation, see what your goals are and what you're looking to do. And investing in real estate fits what we do. And we can talk about things in the future.
I would get on that call if you're any kind of professional, even if you're not interested in real estate, because I think Ryan and Francesca have a pulse on what's going on with the economy. They see what's going on with the banks. They see what's going on with inflation. They may look at you and say, well, you're all invested in this. Maybe you should be looking at something different. It may not even be multifamily, but just having that conversation. And once they describe and define the benefits to you, I think you're going to enjoy the conversation. I think there's just another option for you to invest in another vehicle that you're looking at. You don't have to put all your eggs in that basket, although I've done, and that basket's gotten pretty full right now. So I love that basket. So once again, it's Cashflow Capital Club, correct?
Correct.
CCC. I want to thank you both for being on. It's such a pleasure every time speaking to you guys. And I think your family is what embodies the Jake and Gino community. Professionals out there trying to create wealth. And it's not just generational wealth, it's legacy wealth, because you're going to be passing these skills on to your children. And hopefully some of the doctors that are investing with you, you'll be able to change their mindset and say, hey, W-2 work is great, but whatever money I'm making is earned income, possibly I can invest it in deals and start creating some passive income. So go out there, go check out Ryan and Francesca. I want to thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
Bye. Appreciate it. You.